This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
That's right. It is happening, and we've got a big show for you today. We expect to be talking with Ricky Prohl, who is the head coach of the Battlehawks. He'll be joining us later in the hour. We also are hoping to have a conversation with Matthew Libertor, who's going to make the Grapefruit League start for the Cardinals coming up here. But it's Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, and we are joined by Matt Pauly, who is also in Florida, and he is covering Cardinals spring training. How's it going today there, Matt?
Good. Do we need to do like a little thing here before I start talking?
Oh, yeah. Let's do the thing, Matt.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof. We always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Feels more official now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can't talk without an intro, obviously.
Yeah, we give you all kinds of intros throughout the day. So there's Matt Pauly joining us from spring training in Florida. So I know that we talked during the last hour or a couple of hours ago on the Chris and Amy show. Anything change from then until now?
No, I had a couple of live BP sessions today. I mean, things are just kind of rolling along. Everybody's excited for Saturday. You know, one of the things that is a little bit notable here, we've seen teams across Major League Baseball get into their respective ballparks early to test the ABS system. The Cardinals want to do that, but the ballpark isn't fully ready yet, so they are not sure if they're going to be able to get in there and do what they want to do prior to Saturday.
I mean, is that okay? I mean, do they need to, or should they be able to figure it out once the Grapefruit League starts?
I don't think there's anything lost if it doesn't happen. It sounds like they are going to get in there for a little bit tomorrow and maybe have a limited run. But like, they are working so hard down here to get the ballpark ready by Saturday. Even things like the sidewalks, they're replacing all the cement on the sidewalks, like square by square, for lack of a better term. So like 1 hour you'll be walking and a certain area will be completely blocked off and you'll have to, you know, go into like the bushes to get into a door. And then the next hour that'll all be dried up and you can walk over it. And another section is still an active construction site here in Jupiter around the ballpark.
Let me clarify. There, all these things are being worked on at once, right? It's not like they're just doing the sidewalk squares first.
No, there's so many workers down here doing things, and every day something new is being put in. Like even all the doors around the facility are being replaced. It sounded like that was one of the projects today. There was some question about whether or not all the doors were going to fit appropriately to the door frames. But you would be like, it's just, there's a lot going on here. They got the stuff done that they needed to get done to start spring training. But once they're still wrapping up phase two, and then phase three is going to start once spring training comes to an end.
Matt, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that the pyramids were easier to put together than Roger Dean Stadium.
But that's just me. The aliens did that, Bernie.
So that's right. That's right. No, it'll be good. I want to ask you about this, Matt. I've always joked, you know, the best thing about spring training is you get to overreact to everything. The worst thing about spring training is you get to overreact to everything. How much concern is there in the camp about some of the pitching concerns with injuries to Riley O'Brien and Brandon Clarke and a couple other of these guys, Eshon Henderson, who, you know, could have been, still could be maybe a guy that would be in the big league rotation picture later this year, something like that. Is there any concern, or do they like the depth they have that would ease those concerns?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of concern right now. Like going one by one on those, Clarke wasn't going to be in the big leagues this year. So, him, you know, it's a bummer for him because he represents so much coming over as one of those high ceiling guys that came over in a trade. So they're hopeful that he'll be able to be back good to go at some point midseason. But he wasn't going to impact the big league roster in all likelihood this year. Henderson could impact the big league roster. His deal doesn't sound like a major type thing. They're just slowing him down a little bit. So I wouldn't expect him to miss much time. And he was never going to be on the opening day roster. The Riley O'Brien thing, we'll get, you can ask me this question again over the next few days as we get more information, but this is my read on it right now. I don't think he's going to go to the WBC. And I think what's happening here is he's just not able to ramp up because of the calf issue. And that's not a terrible thing, because even without a calf issue, ramping up in like 3 weeks to being able to throw high leverage innings in a sold out Tokyo Dome during the WBC, that in itself is a dicey situation. And the Cardinals were concerned about that even before there was any type of injury. So my takeaway is, now that he's been slowed down and basically the ramp up process has stopped, I don't see how the WBC happens. That being said, it is just a small calf issue from what we understand right now. So I think this impacts the WBC for him. I don't think it impacts opening day. I say that just kind of reading tea leaves. Nothing officially has been said yet. And let's see what is said when we get an official word on Riley.
Speaking of opening day, Lars Nootbaar came back, joined camp yesterday. Do we think he'll be ready to go?
I would, if you know, the proverbial gun to the head, I would say he's not ready to go on opening day, but I don't think it's going to be that much longer that he's good to go. He needs to be medically cleared at this point, and he's still not there. He got to a point where his rehab progressed, and that's why he has come to Jupiter. There's this weightless treadmill thing that he was using that eventually they'll have here. They don't have it yet just because they're still bringing in equipment on like an everyday basis. So that piece of equipment was not available for him to use. So he stayed in Southern California, got to a point where his rehab, he can now be 100% weight bearing. So he doesn't have to worry about the weightless treadmill at this point. So that's a really good step forward for him. They are working really hard, and they're being very deliberate in saying that there is still no timeline on this, but they're not taking opening day off the table because they do feel like once he's medically cleared, it's not going to take very long for him to be good. It's, and I know I mentioned this on Chris and Amy, it's just remarkable. He, over the last couple years, could not walk upstairs sometimes when he got home from the ballpark. He was literally hanging on to a banister just to get upstairs in his house. And that's what he was playing through. We can have the conversation about whether or not he should have been playing through that. That's neither here nor there at the moment. But that's how debilitating it was for him. So I know he's dealt with injuries throughout his career. It's not always been this. I'm excited for him that maybe he can. There's at least the possibility that he finds a different gear this year because he's kind of finally back to being able to be an athlete.
I would strongly prefer that he takes his time. There's just no reason in the world to rush, because the last thing you want, the worst thing that you would happen is if he tries to push it a little too soon, he has a setback. I mean, so, you know, take your time. What difference does it make at this point, right? He'll play a lot of ball once he gets fully healthy. But I did want to ask you this. You know, the Cardinals aren't exactly teeming with a huge supply of like proven major league outfielders. So what would be the contingency in left field for however how much time Newt would miss at the beginning of the season?
I think it's Jose Fermin and Nelson Velasquez right now. Those are the two names that jump out. I don't mention Thomas Sejacy because I actually think they're more interested in Sejacy in center field to be a guy who can spell Victor Scott II. Not that they're not going to go throw him out there in left field. If the Cardinals had to post a lineup tomorrow in a game that matters, I think Jose Fermin would be their left fielder.
Are there any other, as we get really deep into spring training and we start this Grapefruit League on Saturday, and actually spring training baseball for real starts tomorrow around the league. Yeah. But I mean, that's how close we are. What are the storylines that we have not talked about, because we've talked about JJ Weatherholt probably making the team. You know, we've talked about Jordan Walker and, you know, the work that he's done in trying to get his swing right. Is there something that we are missing?
That's a good question. Maybe a little bit with the starting rotation, because we talked about how much depth there is. Hunter Dobbins isn't medically cleared now. And I get the sense that they, Ollie talked about it the other day, that he doesn't really feel like spring training actually really allows you to fully ramp up your starting pitching staff, especially if you have a bunch of guys who you're trying to stretch out. So I think they would like to go into some sort of, I don't know if it's a 6-man rotation, a 5.5-man rotation, if it's somebody who if they just kind of mix and match. It's they're not attached to everybody's got to pitch every fifth day. They're attached to what's going to be best for each individual, and let's build a schedule around that. Here, even in spring, there's going to be some starting pitchers who are on a five-day schedule and some starting pitchers on a six-day schedule. And mixing and matching that is a little bit easier said than done. So when you start doing the math on that, if Hunter Dobbins isn't available to start the season and he's not medically cleared yet, well, then you've got six guys for maybe six spots. So as much as we've talked about all this starting pitching depth, there might not actually be quite as much depth because of what's going to be needed at the start of the season. So I don't know. I don't think we've talked about that all that much. That's the first thing that kind of jumps out at me.
Matt Pauley live from Florida right now. And Matt, we appreciate your reporting from spring training, and we will talk again to start the Gas House Gang tomorrow at 12.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. I'll be on the whole show tomorrow.
Oh, Friday. Great. All right. So you're with us, and it'll be Mike Claiborne, you and me. Perfect.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Talk to you then, buddy.
All right.
See ya.
That is Matt Pauley live from Florida, where the Cardinals are in the midst of spring training, and Matthew Liberatore will start on Saturday in the Grapefruit League opener. I think Matthews is expected to get some work as well in that game. We are going to carry it right here on 104.1 FM KMOX, and we do expect to be talking with Matthew Liberatore soon right here on this show today before it is over.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Gas House Gang streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Find the KMOX sports pages for all of those, and you can watch the show if you want to. Of course, we are on the Odyssey app as well. The Gas House Gang is sponsored by Celiga Heating and Cooling, CeligaHeatingandCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, and we will talk to Ricky Prohl, who is the head coach of the Battle Hawks. He will be joining us in studio at 12:30, and then we are expecting a conversation with Matthew Liberatore, who is going to start on Saturday in the Grapefruit League opener, which likely means that he will start the opener, at least we think he's going to, when the baseball season actually begins. But Bernie, a year from now, we might be in the middle, and looks likely we are still going to be in the middle of a baseball lockout. We do fully expect that when December of this year rolls around, that we are going to have the lockout. The CBA expires. We know that Tony Clark, the union president, this week abruptly stepped down. Then we found out it was because he was having an affair with his brother's wife, which is frowned upon in society. And now we don't know. And it looks likely that Bruce Meyer is going to be the negotiator. But this comes at a really, really bad time. And Bernie, I wanted to get your take on this because Chris Bassitt, who is an MLB pitcher, and he's one of eight players on the executive subcommittee for the union. And he said this, and I'm going to read to you most of it. And I want to get your thoughts on what he said and what it means. Quote, the salary cap doesn't fix anything. If you look at every major sport that has a salary cap, we have the best parity. The salary cap is not the issue. Having suppressed salaries across the league so owners can make more money is not the answer. Like if I tell you in 25 years, the Dodgers will be going to 10 World Series and winning 7 of them, is that an issue? Because that's the Patriots. Then the Chiefs have been to 6 or 7. The Philadelphia Eagles have been to 4 or 5. The parity in our sport is better than any other sport, so we will make changes to try to help the so-called bottom teams out. But a salary cap and suppressing salaries and taking from players to try to help the so-called bottom teams spend more, that is not the answer. And that is just a part of what he said. So when I hear that, it's not a surprise that the players are dug in against the salary cap, but it sounds pretty ominous if you think about it.
Well, I think everyone envisions that this is coming, whether Tony Clark was the head of the union or not. I have written columns about this. The fact that Major League Baseball's parity is actually very underrated and very underappreciated compared to other teams. And that can be documented by facts. If you take away some of the recency bias, it is especially true. That said, So when I say that, however, I am not a staunch anti-salary cap person. If anything, I'm in favor of the salary cap. If for no other reason is that if they get a salary cap, I won't have to hear everyone talk about a salary cap 365 days a year, you know? And it seems to have worked out okay for all the other professional teams. It will not be the end of the world for the players. See, that's what the Chris Bassetts don't talk about. Like, everything he said was factually true. But in the other sports, you know, all of the players are doing extremely well economically in terms of salary and compensation. So the salary cap hasn't impaired their ability to make money to the level that they should make money. So I'm not sure what the major league players are so scared of, because the salary cap in other sports shows that the players make out. They gain. The best players make the most money. What happens in baseball? The best players make the most money. And that's not going to change. My concern about Bruce Meyer is that he is such a – he's going to be in a situation now where he's in charge, and he was already considered to be a very tough, very rigid, maybe even unreasonable negotiator. Now he's going to be dug in because he's going to want to keep the job, so he's going to have to prove that he's the toughest guy in America and all that stuff. Tony Clark, at least, you know, realized there was a time where you just make your best deal and everybody benefits and you hug it out and then you play ball. Bruce Meyer is going to be on a mission to show that he's not Scott Boras's puppet, which some people think that he is. And he's going to want to show that, you know, he deserves to be in that job for as long as he wants it. So it'll be really interesting. The one, you know, I don't want to dismiss the Tony Clark thing as like a personal failing. There's still that federal investigation.
Yeah.
That is a really big deal.
Yes,
there,
it is.
There seems to be some serious financial impropriety, and Tony Clark's responsible for it, if true. That's a huge deal. Here's my question. Am I supposed to believe that this has been going on for 3 or 4 years? I mean, just money disappearing. Am I supposed to believe Stuart Meyer knew nothing of this?
Well, of course, somebody had to have. He didn't. He didn't do that all by himself without any knowledge of it. There's just no way. I agree with you on that. I guess what bothers me about all of this is, you know, that is obviously a very, very big deal and a crime we're talking
huge
about.
Deal.
What he did with the personal life, also a big deal. What bothers me is he knows he's got an important job and that you can't be messing around, because livelihoods depend on you. A lot of livelihoods. We're not just talking about the players and the coaches. We're talking about people who rely on games being played because they work at the stadiums, or, you know, they work in the front office, or they do jobs where they don't get paid unless the teams actually play. So to avoid a work stoppage is a very big deal. And this guy's out doing all the stuff that he's doing. And one other thing I want to say about parity.
I still think the financial improprieties that are so wide scale, huge scale, if that's all true. And listen, the Eastern District of New York, they don't bring charges unless they're 100% convinced they're going to make them stick.
Sure.
That's their history. That's a much bigger deal, I'm sorry, than Tony Clark having a fling.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, all of it is a huge problem, or a huge problem.
So, you know, and I'm saying, like, who else in that, the Players Association, knew all about both of these things?
Right.
So I think they have a huge credibility issue. And they're trying to talk as if, oh, no, we're as strong as ever. I don't think they are. I don't think they are.
The last thing I want to say about the parity, it is true that there have been 9 different World Series winners, but there have only been in the last 14 years, or 12 years, that is. The only small market teams, though, that have won have been the Cardinals and the Royals. That's it. So, yeah, there is a different World Series winner every year, it seems like, but it's always a big market team. So there is a problem there, I think. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji on the Gas House Gang. Ricky Prohl, the head coach of the Battle Hawks, joins us next.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is the Gas House Gang, Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji, and we are now joined in studio by Ricky Prohl, who is the head coach of the Battle Hawks. They open up their season March 28th here at the Dome at America Center against DC. Ricky, you getting ready for the season?
Yeah, it's. I can't even tell you how excited I am. I mean, got into Arlington. The team gets in tonight. Meet with them tomorrow. I'm fired up. I got a great staff. We've been meeting all week, game planning, putting stuff together, scripts, just getting ready for practice next week. And just to be back in the Lou is it just feels good. It was I'll be honest with you though, it was a rough coming in. One of the worst flights I've had in about 10, 15 years.
Well, that's not good. Why?
No, it was just the weather is bad. Oh, okay. And it was, the plane was jumping all over the place. So I'm glad I'm here, 2 feet solid ground. So it's, but it's hard to explain when I fly into that airport and the memories that everything that just flashes back in mind and the memories that I have here.
Ricky, Bernie Miklas, I'm on remote. I'm doing the Zoom thing or the StreamYard thing. Yeah. First of all, it's good to see you. And I'm so glad you're going to be the head coach of the Battlehawks.
I appreciate class that, Bernie. Act. It's great to hear your voice, man.
Class act. Huge, huge contribution to the best time for pro football, the NFL, when the Rams, I don't have to tell you about that. But I want to ask you about this, though. You know, give us a sense of your team. You know, you're getting close. What do you like about your team? Where do you think you're going to be strong?
Wideouts.
What do you need to work on?
Wideouts.
Receivers.
I'm fired up. We got a great wide receiver room, but we've got Feeney coming back, PETA. We got Cam Kelly. We got a lot of the nucleus of this football team back. That was important, you know, and Dave and Beck did a great job of building this football team over the last several years. So I tried to keep as many guys as I could. As many as I could retain, and then with addition, adding some guys along the way, I'm fired up. I can't even tell you, Bernie, how excited I am to get going, get these guys rolling. But just to set the standard on how we're going to play football and how we're going to do it, and play championship football.
And you've been through all kinds of training camps in your professional career. What's different? And how is it? Is there more of a challenge with UFL training camps than maybe the way it's done in the NFL? Is it about the same? How do you see it?
There is. It's a great question. It is challenging. It's different. You don't have as many guys. We'll have 63-ish guys. And then you got your 61 guys, and then you got your skilled or your specialists. But the numbers aren't as big, but we'll make it work. I mean, it's just, we just got to be smart in how we prepare as coaches to where we don't, you know, recovery period. You know, we work them hard, then we back off, work them hard, back off. And it can be done. It's not something that, you know, that we haven't done before or I haven't done before. I think when I was with the Carolina Panthers as a receiver coach, we had 12 guys, which is what we have now. But it's just about reps and just counting the reps, being real cognizant of how many reps are taken per day, and then just slowly increasing those reps so we don't have any soft tissue injuries. And that's the biggest thing, is getting through camp to where they're getting tape, they're getting to perform and execute the plays that we want them to execute, but doing it in a smart, efficient way to where they don't get injured.
Well, Ricky, you said you love the wideouts, but that leads to a natural follow-up. All right, who's going to be slinging the ball to them? What's your quarterback situation like? The Battlehawks have had a sequence of really good quarterbacks, so what about 2026?
Well, we had our first setback. Michael Pratt decided that his heart wasn't in it, and he decided not to play. But we have Brandon Silvers, who is a savvy vet who's been in this league for 5 years. He knows the system. He's a great leader. I know for a fact. I a lot of history with this guy. My son played for him in Seattle, and then obviously I watched from afar last year. I know Brandon very well, so I'm excited that he's a part of our football team. His leadership will be huge. A lot like AJ in what he brings to the table in his veteran leadership. And then we have Ben Woolridge, who was with the New England Patriots, and I'm excited about this kid. He's got a lot of talent. A big arm. He loves football. Very passionate. I called Jake DeLome because they went to the same school in Louisiana Lafayette, and I said, "Tell me about Ben Woolridge." He said, "The guy just lives and breathes football, man. He lives in the facility, and I've already seen that because he's been here with Jordan Palmer. The quarterbacks from the league have been working with Jordan, and He's in our facility at 5-6 o'clock after he's already been outside with Jordan for 4 to 5 hours and just talking ball with AJ, our offense coordinator.
And you know about the Dome. You played in it many, many games, and you saw what it was like when the Rams were here. You've also seen what it's like when the Battlehawks are playing there, especially compared to the rest of the league. The way this city draws fans is really something, even with UFL.
It's a league changer. I mean, this fan base is the flagship of this league, and you know, I'm here to try to grow that. You know, we have a new owner now that is, I can't say enough about his passion and his excitement to grow this league. He's got goals of wanting to add teams, but he's kind of laid the law, like, hey, I want to grow ticket sales. I want to put more fans in the seats, and I'm going to help him do that. And that's what a product that we put on the field. And Coach Beck has done a great job. I mean, I think it's 22-8 over the last 3 years. Our goal, obviously, is to get over the hump and win a championship. And that's I feel like I know what that looks like. I know what we have to do to get that done. I was blessed to play in 4 Super Bowls, coach another Super Bowl. And it's the details, man. The devil's in the details. And it's I'm going to set that standard from day one.
Yeah, I'll let Bernie go ahead and jump in here. But I'll just make this comment about being at Battlehawks games. It is very different. It's very different than just about any other sport that you would attend in St. Louis. People are really into it. Just really into it here.
I've witnessed it firsthand as a spectator and as a coach, and it is. You talk to guys. I've gotten to know a lot of these guys that play in this league. They love playing here. You know, they play for other teams. They play for Orlando. They play for Houston. They love coming to St. Louis and play because of the atmosphere and the environment. And kudos. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, I got the opportunity to play in this dome and, you know, for 5 seasons and an NFC championship and another NFC championship, and there's nothing like it. People don't talk. You couldn't. It was so loud in that place in 99 and in 2001. I mean, it's – like I said, and you've heard me say it 100,000 times, these are the greatest fans in our country. I mean, they come to support, win, lose, they're there. And when we were bad in 98, they were there. And when we were great in 99, they were there. And that's a true testament to the fan base here in St. Louis.
Ricky, I got one for you. And listen, I know your job's to coach a football team and make your players better and reward the fans that way. But if I want to throw something out there real quick. I was talking to Randy Carricker about this, and we're both concerned, and I know a lot of people are concerned. What we had here with the Rams during that incredible time was very, very special. And the longer that team has not been here, I worry that the memories and the pride that go with that era kind of are starting to fade a little bit. You see Torrey Holt getting overlooked for the Hall of Fame, for example, which is absurd.
Yep.
Because you were such a huge part of that team, you know, do you believe there's a way for the Battlehawks to sort of keep that spirit of those 99 to 2001 Rams alive? Maybe having some of your former teammates come in and wave to the crowd and all that stuff. How can you? We can have the best of both worlds. We can have the Battlehawks, but we can honor those Rams teams. So tell us about that.
I love it. We Stoli and I were talking about that. I was talking about that with Russ. Russ Brandon, who is our president and CEO of this league, I said, listen, man, I, you know, we already talked about Mike Jones being our ambassador, but bringing Torrey, bringing Grant Wistrom, bringing Isaac, Kurt, you know, all these guys back. We got Jeff Scaninas on my staff. Son is on my staff, who I was carrying out in 99 Super Bowl, and now he's a grown man. He doesn't always act like it, but he is. I don't act like a grown man either. But anyway, yes. I just to bring that energy, bring these guys back. I just, you know, we're on a text chain. I talk with these guys and text with these guys every day. Ray Agnews and Aeneas Williams, Marshall. Marshall's coaching now. You know, Torrey, Isaac. Torrey's going to get in. It's the hardest position to get in right now, but he's going to get in. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, it's just a matter of time. And I know it's hard because then you get pushed down a little further. But he'll get in, and it'll be the right time when he does, and we'll all celebrate. And it'll be fun to get get the crew back together. But I'm going to try to do everything in my power to get these guys on the sidelines and bring that energy and bring that 99 feeling back. And hopefully our football team will bring that feeling back by the way we play.
Ricky Prohl, it's awesome to have you back in St. Louis. We're looking forward to Saturday, March 28th, 11 o'clock game against D.C. at the Dome. Tickets are available at theufl.com, and you can buy those tickets now. Let's fill the place like
we have been doing for years. Come on, St. Louis.
Ricky, it's good to see you, man. Thank you for coming in.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Ricky Prohl, head coach of the Battlehawks, with us. When we come back, we are scheduled to talk with Matthew Liberatore, who is starting the Grapefruit League opener for the Cardinals on Saturday. That is next on the Gas House Gang.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
The pitch is swung on and missed. Liberatore gets a strikeout, throwing a cutter up and away. Six strikeouts for Liberatore.
Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji on the Gas House Gang, and we go back to Florida. We bring in starter for the St. Louis Cardinals, Matthew Liberatore, joins the show. He will be starting on Saturday. Matthew, good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us, and you're a couple of days away from the Grapefruit League start. So what goes into the preparation for a spring start as opposed to a regular season one?
Yeah, probably a little less scouting, but, you know, it's exciting time of year, and you get to see all your hard off-season work pay off, and, you know, I couldn't be more excited to be taking the ball in a few days.
Libby, Bernie Miklas, it's really nice of you to take some time for us. I wanted to ask you, what did you learn last year, your first excursion as a full-time starter in the big leagues? And taking what you learned, how do you put it to use in 2026?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a much different experience than I had in 24 coming out of the pen all year. But similar to coming out of the bullpen, I think I really learned what my body's capable of and what I'm able to handle throughout the course of the season. And, you know, kind of taking all of that and trying to put it into this year and, you know, putting some better systems in place to deal with, you know, kind of what I went through in the second half last year and making sure that we do everything we can to avoid that and make sure that that doesn't happen again. But, you know, my ability to compete still remains. And, you know, I think that was something I really had to tap into in that second half of the season. And, you know, to finish the year making all my starts and staying healthy was huge for me.
Yeah, and you almost doubled up the amount of innings you threw from, you know, 2024 into last year. So there's a lot that goes into that. Do you have an idea of where you want to be at the end of this season as far as your innings go?
I try not to set a firm goal on that. You know, obviously I'd love to throw more innings than I threw last year. You know, if I could make it to 180 innings, that'd be amazing. But, you know, I think that's one of those things you kind of just have to wait and see how the season goes and how things progress. But I think I certainly put myself in a good position to increase my workload this year and, you know, hopefully have a stronger second half than I did last year.
The last time I checked, and I checked like a couple days ago, the Cardinals, at least right now, would have the youngest team in the majors, which is kind of cool, actually. But what's that been like in camp so far? I know it's early, but what's the vibe like? What's, you know, the fact that you're so much younger now, is that a good thing for the Cardinals in your opinion?
I think so. You know, the vibes have been great so far. There's a lot of young, fresh energy, which I think is exciting. And, you know, it seems like everybody's on board with the plan and, you know, we're all working on creating an identity for our team right now. And so, you know, I think that where we're at right now is a great place to build from. And, you know, all this young and new energy, I think, has been really good for us.
And we know that because it's been the talk of spring training, the new facilities, the Cardinals have redone a lot there in Florida and are trying to modernize it. So how are you seeing the new facilities and how have they been able to help?
Yeah, I mean, they've done exactly that. These new facilities are top notch, state of the art. You know, this is everything that you could ask for in a facility. There's really no resource that we don't have now, and that's that's something that I think is invaluable and something that we're all trying to utilize to the best of our capabilities while we're here for spring training.
Libby, if you could just sort of explain from a, you know, from a pitcher's viewpoint, when writers and broadcasters talk about all the changes that have been made behind Bloom, bringing in, you know, getting the Cardinals up to speed with pitching labs, technology, a lot of advanced stuff, you know, in the real world, so to speak, I mean, how do you think that stuff will help you and the other pitchers?
I think the more information you have, the better. Obviously, I think that with more information, you also have to develop a filter and be able to understand yourself well enough to know what information is valuable to you and what information might not be valuable to you. I think in this day and age where there's been such a high importance placed on numbers and analytics, I think if you can develop that filter, you really can use them to your advantage. And so, you know, now with us kind of modernizing everything and really honing in on making sure we have enough staff and people in the right departments and also numbers and technology and analytics, I think somewhere in there lies the perfect combination of the art and the science. And, I think having those resources at our disposal now certainly helps guys be able to create the best version of themselves much quicker.
Matthew, you have thrown to a number of different Cardinals catchers, and sometimes you have guys who like to throw to certain catchers. It just, they feel more comfortable. There's a better rhythm. There's a different rhythm. And for others, it doesn't matter that much based on the game plan. Does it matter to you? Are you one of those who likes to have a certain catcher that you throw to?
I'd say yes, but I would also say that out of all the catchers we have, I have not disliked throwing to any of them. We have a really good catching core here and a bunch of guys that really understand baseball and how to read swings and how to read at-bats. And, you know, our catchers, they're the first ones at the field every day. They're the last ones to leave. They're by far the hardest workers out of everybody in camp. And, they take a lot of pride in getting to know all of us as pitchers and also as humans. And, you know, that certainly helps with in-game adjustments and understanding what guys like to throw in certain situations. And, our catching core does a fantastic job of all of that stuff.
Are you excited to get the ball in what appears to be you're going to get the ball in the first exhibition game? Are you excited for that?
I couldn't be more excited. I've been itching to get on a mound and face some hitters with a different jersey on than since, I started throwing back in December during the offseason. So for it to finally be here, I couldn't be more excited about that.
And one of our listeners points out you'll be doing it with number 32 instead of 52. And we know that it's because it's in honor of Sandy Koufax, which is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I was kind of just given that number when I was younger, and it didn't necessarily have any meaning to me. And at the time, at 8, 9 years old, I obviously still hit. So on the hitter side of things, it was Josh Hamilton. And on the pitching side of things, it was Sandy Koufax. And my hitting career ended pretty abruptly once I got to high school. So the Josh Hamilton comparison kind of went out the window. But, me and Sandy Koufax both throw very similar curveballs. I used to model his mechanics and study his video and watch the way he pitched and kind of just fell in love with it. That comparison really resonated with me for a long time. And, I wasn't able to choose my number when I first got to the big leagues. So, 52 is kind of given to me, and I liked it. I ran with it for a while, but once that 32 opened up for me, I made sure to try and jump on it. And it feels right wearing that number. Not that it means a whole lot in the grand scheme of things anyways, but it's one of those little things that just makes you feel good when you put the jersey on.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in that number. Matthew Liberatore, looking forward to the season starting and to your start on Saturday as Grapefruit League gets going. Thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on. Looking forward to getting baseball going here.
Cardinals starter Matthew Liberatore on the Gas House Gang, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Bernie, we will talk again soon. I know you'll be on Rush Hour Sports tomorrow at 5. Yes?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And Ronj, always a pleasure to work with you, man.
You too, my friend. Thank you. That is Bernie Miklas. I'm Chris Ronji. If you missed it, you know where to find it. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or the Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock on the Gas House Gang on KMOX.